Hey everyone, let's get started. I'm afraid you're stuck with me this afternoon. Audrey Moross is stuck on a tarmac in Dallas. Apparently a bad week for Southwest Airlines. We are turning to the new world of pregnancy accommodation. I'm pleased to introduce to you Abigail Madrigal, who is with Schmoyer Reinhardt in San Antonio, and Shannon and Christine are old and dear friends of mine, so I'm very grateful that they allowed Abigail to take a day off of billing hours to come up here and speak. Couple really notable things from her bio, at least it stuck out with me, the odd combination of being an avid long-distance runner and home craft cocktail maker, which seems like a perfect fit. Abigail, take it away.
Thank you. You need something to do when you're recovering from your runs, so it just makes sense. But yes, today I'm here to talk about the new world of pregnancy accommodations, which largely come from two statutes that have been recently enacted, both the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act and the Pump for Nursing Mothers Act. And so starting with the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act, which was actually enacted just last June of 2023, so it should be pretty familiar to most of us. But this past month, the EEOC issued its final rule and regulations, so we've been able to kind of look towards that for some guidance in what is arguably a pretty broad statute. So to start off with, the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act at its core requires employers to provide reasonable accommodations to qualified employees or applicants who are knowingly limited due to pregnancy, childbirth, or a related condition. And that really broadens it past what the ADA previously required when it came to accommodations due to disabilities. So under the PWFA, it no longer has to be a disability, it merely has to be a known limitation, which we'll get into. And so essentially, as long as the employee is qualified, the employer must grant that requested accommodation or an equally effective accommodation, unless doing so would impose an undue burden. Now, because the PWFA largely tracks both Title VII and the ADA, most of what we see in it is not new information. There are, of course, a couple very important new pieces that we'll get into, but to start with what's familiar, it applies to those with 15 or more employees. You can file charges with the EEOC, and that was effective as of June of 2023, so some people may have already seen some charges filed. There, it contains the same limitations on compensatory and punitive damages that we previously saw under Title VII, and damages are, of course, limited if employers make good faith efforts to reasonably accommodate. And as we've seen with the ADA, it includes both the interactive process and reasonable accommodations. So who is covered, and more importantly, what is new under the PWFA? So as we've seen in the past, the qualified employees or applicants include those who can perform the essential functions of the employment position with or without reasonable accommodation. However, under the PWFA, a qualified employee or applicant may also include someone who cannot perform one or more essential functions if the inability to perform that function is temporary, the essential function can be performed in the near future, and the inability to perform can be reasonably accommodated. And the regulations have left those terms very broadly open, so the EEOC has tried to provide some sort of definition for us to rely on, but it's going to really depend on how the law kind of comes out when these cases are brought to light. So per the EEOC, temporary means lasting for a limited time, it's not permanent, and it may extend beyond in the near future, whereas in the near future generally means 40 weeks from the start of the temporary suspension of the essential function. And a couple important things to note here are that each known limitation brought by an employee to the employer would come with its own timeline. So if they bring a known limitation and it happens to require the temporary suspension of an essential job function, and a second known limitation comes up, those need to be treated differently to ensure you're not overriding or ignoring any known limitation that arises. Some known limitations may appear to last for 40 weeks and then kind of go away and you can move on from them, whereas another one might keep going. So it's important to treat those differently and make sure you're not letting anything slip through the cracks.